Billy. She couldn't see me and I couldn't see her. I was way in the back 40. Billy, it's getting dark. Get home before dark. You know, that's what God is saying to those that don't know him. He said, would you come home before dark? Because the night is coming when no man can work.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Resurrection Day, and welcome to our Sunday celebration of the greatest day in history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, Pastor Bill teaches from the Gospel of Luke. The message he's entitled, Come Home Before Dark. Now, Pastor Bill.
We are here, we've gathered together, and listen, I know you in the overflow areas, in the barn, maybe outside in the cross courtyard, I know that you're there. Listen, we love you, even though you're still part of this chapel, even though you're a little separated. We're sorry that we're not large enough to accommodate all that, but here's the deal. We are here to celebrate the greatest day in the history of mankind, amen? And that is the resurrection of our Lord. You know, the Bible teaches us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is literally the cornerstone of Christianity, of our faith. And what's wonderful about this day is we celebrate. We know that Jesus is not on the cross. We know where he is, but we also know something else. We celebrate this day because of what he did for all of us. He stripped sin and death and hell and the devil of all of its power. By one single act on what we call Good Friday, he died for the sins of the world. Amen? Oh, listen, if you are in Christ, you are complete in him. He is the Savior of the world. There is absolutely no other, and he is alive. I don't care what world religions, and I say this with not an intent of judgment or blasphemous judgment, any of those things, but all of the world religions, not one from the history of the world can say that their founder is alive. Amen. They not dare say it. I can go to the tomb of Muhammad right now. There, you know what I'm saying? He's there, he's not alive. Loved one, listen, our Savior is alive. And not only that, our Savior has done something that no other religion has ever done. He lives, the founder lives in his followers, amen? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Listen, I thank God that we know there's only one way, only one name, only one person, only one gospel by which a man, a woman, a person can be saved. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. This morning, we're going to cover the first 12 verses a little rapidly, and then to get into our text on this Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to look today, remember, our entire text, verses 1 through 35, our entire text, all of it takes place on the first Resurrection Sunday ever. So we're going to go back to the very beginning there in Jerusalem and so forth. Beginning in verse 1, it says, and now on the first day of the week, and that day is Sunday. It says, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them, it says, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So they're not looking for the risen Savior, are they? No, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed, it says about this, that behold, two men, now those are angels, as we know, they stood by them in shining garments. And then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the angel spoke to them and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Isn't that a great question? In other words, you know, they weren't looking for the living Savior. When I go to the cemetery, I'm not looking for people that are alive. Do you understand? That's what they were doing. He says, he's not there, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must, that divine must, loved one, he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. You know what the greatest reason for a defeated life is today? We don't remember the words of God. Amen? Yes. And then they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now, isn't it amazing? You want to spread the good news? Hire some women. Amen? I don't mean that critically, but I mean, that's not even in my notes. It just came. It must be from God. He said, tell the women, or they're going to spread the news. And so they come, and 11, they tell the rest, and oh, listen, and they talk to the apostles. Now, watch this. And their words seemed to them like what? What a sad word. Do you know that word tales only mentioned in the New Testament right here? It means they looked at what they just said as pure nonsense, insanity. Matter of fact, that word is actually used in the Greek for as a medical word. It means hysteria or hallucinations that is caused by a fever. You follow me? So they're going, you are out of your mind. Now listen, watch this. And their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. The first people not to believe that Jesus rose from the dead were his own apostles. That's a sad word, isn't it? Yes, but Peter, he rose up, he ran to the tomb, stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He departed marveling to himself at what had happened. It didn't say he believed. He said he was marveling. An empty tomb doesn't produce faith. Amen? No. Now, listen carefully. Before us is one of the most moving, beautiful, lengthy, long narratives in the Bible, and it's found in Luke's gospel. And we're going to find two men, and we're going to find the resurrected Lord, okay? And when we look at this, man, I pray your hearts are open to what happened on the Emmaus Road. It says, and now behold, two of them, meaning two of Jesus's disciples, they were traveling that same day. Remember, that's Resurrection Sunday. So that's the first resurrection. It says, on the same day, they were traveling to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were going home. Say that with me. They were going home. They were going back. Now, we're going to find out that these two disciples that loved Jesus, they were discouraged, they were defeated, they were hopeless, and everything in their world had been turned upside down, and yet they had absolutely no reason to be defeated or discouraged because, you see, they believed that Jesus was dead. And they're saying, you know what? We're leaving Jerusalem. We're going home. We just have 7 miles and we're just going to leave and go for it. You know, now listen, maybe some of you, maybe you're listening live. Maybe you're in the barn or the overflow other areas outside here in the chapel. You came here today and you feel like you're on the Emmaus Road. You're hopeless in a way. You don't like the way your life has turned out. Maybe you're even sad like we're going to find these two men are. I pray in Jesus' name, if that is true about you, that you don't leave this place that way. Now, and they look what they were doing, and they talked together. You know, iron sharpens iron. They were talking together of what? Of all these things which, past tense, had happened. So all of these things that had happened, they have to be referring to what? Good Friday. Whenever Jesus died there on the cross. So there they are, and we don't know exactly what they said. We're not told, but if they're talking about the things that happened, I wonder maybe, did they mention Judas? I'm sure probably they did. They go, you know what? Judas betrayed our Lord. Why would he do that? And then you know, the crowd, instead of shouting for Jesus to be released, they shouted for a murderer to be released. Give us Barabbas. Remember all that. Then the trial and all the beatings, the scourging, all the horrible things that he went through, and Jesus' death upon the cross. There it was. And then the supernatural events that happened from noon to 3 p.m. Oh, when Jesus bore the sin of the world. Oh, man, remember that? It says, the Bible teaches us that darkness covered the earth. Think about that. From noon to 3 p.m. as Jesus became, again, the sin of the world. And not only that, whenever the last cry of Christ from the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," he yielded up his spirit. He willingly gave it up. It is finished. And that word is one word in the Greek. It means paid in full. Our debt has been paid, the sin debt of the world. Amen? What happened? When he made that cry, God did something when his son died, when our Savior died. God literally shook the earth. He shook Jerusalem. Do you understand when Jesus cried out in that voice? And what happened? Remember the stories? We don't have time to go through it, but just they were probably talking about, I can't believe that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Did you know that the veil of the temple was 90 feet high, 30 feet wide, 18 inches thick? Josephus said 6 yoke of oxen could not pull it apart. And yet, supernaturally, it split from the very top to the bottom. And what happened? It exposed the Holy of Holies. In other words, the veil represents the flesh of Jesus, amen? And when he died, it was rent, as the Bible says. And now anyone can come to God. Amen. Anyone can come, just come right on in. And that's what happened on that great day. And then the earthquake, then the rocks were split. Then it says the graves were opened. Hello. And it says, and many bodies of the saints, they came out of their graves. And you know what they did? They came out, their bodies, and they just laid there. They laid there until Sunday after Jesus rose from the dead. And then the Spirit came back into them. And what did they do? They went around Jerusalem, man, you know, talking to people. Hello. That was Friday, just a normal day in Jerusalem. Man, and I look at that and I go, dear Lord. But then on Sunday, we just learned what happened. Sunday morning, all the women, they come to the tomb. And Jesus, of course, is not there. The tomb is empty. And here they are talking. They're saying, Jesus, he raised the dead, but now he's dead. They were going, it doesn't make sense. Think about this. Listen, put this into your heart. To travel with the Lord for three and a half years, see him heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the thousands. Man, would you be turned on? Would you be excited seeing all that God is doing, believing, and then all of a sudden it's taken away from you? That's what they believed. And you know what they were doing? They were going, oh, man, we had hope. But now I'm going home. I'm going to go back to Emmaus. I'm leaving Jerusalem. I'm going to go back now to my crummy life and the way it used to be before I met the Lord, because Jesus is dead. I want you to listen to me now. Back then on that first Resurrection Sunday, everyone believed that Jesus was dead. The Jews believed it, and they were rejoicing. Even the devil believed it. Pilate believed it. The Jews believed it. The disciples believed it. But Jesus wasn't dead. You know where he was with those two disciples? He was right behind them, listening to their conversation. I love this. Look at this, verse 15. It says, and so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The text loses so much meaning in our language. It literally means this. They were so totally absorbed in what they were talking about. Emotionally, too. It was an emotionally charged, ongoing debate, dialogue, whatever. And they were so in the midst of it, they didn't even realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen Lord himself, was right there walking with them. Man, I tell you, can you imagine God walking with you like that? And Sunday, isn't it amazing? You know, Jesus loves to meet with his people on Sunday. Have you ever noticed that? Yes. Mario, don't ever give me that joke again. They didn't realize that the resurrected Savior was with them. Look at verse 16. It says, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. In other words, something supernatural had happened. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. Listen, do you know that your eyes and my eyes are prevented right now? They're restrained this very moment. Did you know that divinely restrained? You know why I know that? Because I believe the Word of God. And here's what I'm going to say. Right this minute, you know what? There are thousands of angels right here with us. The Bible teaches us that they encamp around the righteous. Pardon me, I didn't mean to step on your foot. No, do you understand? They're right here. Do you see them? Anyone see an angel? Don't raise your hand. No, do you understand? No, listen to me. They are here. You know how I know that? The Word of God is true, and every man can be a liar. Amen? Listen, God's Word, I know that they're here. Thank God that we know that. You know, but maybe their ears were restrained as well because they didn't even recognize the voice of the Lord. Isn't that something? Remember, you know, you can go through and study the appearances of the Lord. Remember when Mary Magdalene, there she was, the first at the tomb, and she was trying to find the Lord and said, "Where's the Lord? Where have you taken him? The stone was rolled away and everything." And she turns away from the tomb, and there's a man standing there. She thinks that man is a gardener. And Mary goes, "Oh, where have you taken my Lord? If you'll just tell me where you've taken him, I'll go fetch him. I'll go get him." And then what does Jesus do? Because see, Jesus, who's standing there, he said, "Woman, what are that? What are you seeking?" He didn't get anything. But then Jesus said one word. He said, "Mary." And when he said Mary, she knew it was Jesus. Oh, and she ran to him. Remember the story? Oh, how wonderful is that? Listen, I remember when talking about voices, when my son was just a little boy, Becky and I, we went to some family reunions, all kinds of people. And it was in Dallas. I don't know why. Dallas, hello. And here I am in Dallas. And there's, I mean, so many people. And we had entrusted our son to one of his aunts, which I won't say what her name was, okay, she's listening. So anyway, she was supposed to watch him. Well, he's only, you know, and this is a massive, massive apartment complex. And so I look around, I said, "Where's my boy?" And then he was gone. And there was people, it was some kind of holiday, so there were people outside, voices, talk, playing game, people everywhere. And I was yelling for him and yelling for Thomas, and I was running this way, this apartment complex was like a mile long, and the sidewalks way down there. And as I was yelling, I was trying to hear, because all these people were talking. And then I heard, "Daddy." I knew his voice above every other voice. You've heard the voice of the Lord. Because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger." We know the voice of the Lord. Oh, and I say, "Oh, God, you're so good." In a minute, their eyes are going to be opened. And may I tell you that even today, in the days that we're living in, the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century, we need to have our eyes, our spiritual eyes, reopened again for the things that are happening in our nation. Amen. And I look here and say, "Oh God, you're so good." And watch this. Here Jesus is with them. They're in this heated argument. And he says to them, "Well, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Everyone say sad. Sad. Oh, that's a sad word, isn't it? Now, let me give you a Greek scholar, Wiest, the translation of this verse that I just read to you. He said, "What are these words which you are tossing to and fro to one another in this animated, heated conversation as you are walking?" And they came to a standstill, gloomy countenance. They were sad. They stopped whenever this occurred. Isn't it amazing? Here is Jesus, the risen Savior, who created all things, sustains all things. And does he know all things? Yes. And he asked a question. Like, you don't think he knows the answer? Do you see the humor there? I mean, I go, "Oh, Lord." He says, "Why are you sad?" I tell you that is a today word on this Resurrection Sunday for our nation and our people in America. Do you know that? I think Jesus is saying to us, even the church, he said, "Why are you downcast? Why are you sad? I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm with you forevermore." Amen? No, listen, you know, today when you think about our nation, mass shooting after mass shooting, teens killing teens. Not only that, we've become numb. We hear so much about it. I mean, look at the subway thing in New York that just happened. And then just yesterday there in Pittsburgh, 13 people were shot, 2 died. And then in South Carolina yesterday in a mall, 12 or 13 people were shot. We're in the midst of the darkest, craziest times ever in the history of this nation. Did you know that? Yes. Did you know that the COVID and inflation and now the brink of war maybe is crazy? I mean, I read the other day, I actually saw it on the news, that poor little girl who went in to see the Easter Bunny, I don't know if you caught that on the news or not, somebody came by and shot her, a little girl. I mean, why didn't they shoot the Easter Bunny? That's what I would have done, you know? But never mind, but it's terrible, the things that are happening. You know, listen to these statistics. 207 Americans die from opioid overdoses each day in this country. 48% of adults, 18 to 25, anxious and depressed. This new CDC study that was just released two days ago, 44%, this is heartbreaking to me, 44% of America's high school students say they are persistently sad and hopeless. You ready for this one? That is the highest level of teenage sadness ever recorded in America. That's where we are right now. Each day in America, 3,700 9 to 12-year-olds attempt suicide in the nation that we live in. You, Bill, this is Resurrection Sunday. You're depressing me. Oh, I'm not trying to depress you. No, I'm not trying to get you hopeless right now. Look at the rage in our nation. Just rage. You know what rage is? Rage believes this. I'm entitled to have what I want when I want it. I want to be first in line. I want to be in the slow lane, and I want to be ahead of you because you're not driving 100 miles an hour, and if you don't like it, I'll run you off the road. Do you know that's happened to me? An old man like me? Think about that. Because I was going 70. How much faster can I go? Well, actually, it was 85, but I wouldn't want to tell you that. No, we think about all these things, and we think about our world. Listen, our world is filled, and the Ukraine, our nation is filled with hurting people. It's filled with sad people. And you may be saying, yes, right, man, because this world has changed, Bill, and my world has changed here. Okay, it has, and it's going to keep changing. But let me tell you about someone who has never changed and never will change, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is alive, and we belong to him. Amen? That's who we look to, our risen Savior. No, listen. He goes to 2 sad, hopeless, hurting disciples outside of the city of Jerusalem on Resurrection Sunday for one reason, to make himself known to them. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. What love is that? In other words, Jesus is going to walk 7 miles with them, just waiting. He's not going to do it quickly. He takes his time, just waiting to reveal himself to them. Don't you just love the Lord? Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you are on this campus right now or listening live, if you don't know Jesus, may I tell you something? That the Holy Spirit has been walking with you every day of your life right next to you because he wants to make Jesus real to you. All you have to do is let him, and he will. Oh, think about that. Oh, I say, Lord, you're so good. He says, oh, and Jesus said to them, okay, what kind of conversation is this? You're having one another, you walk, you're sad. And then one of those, meaning disciple, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said to Jesus, of course, he didn't know it was Jesus, but he said, are you the only stranger? Are you a foreigner? I mean, are you from Arkansas? You know what I'm saying. He says, you're the only stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which have happened there, happened in Jerusalem these days. Look what Jesus does. And Jesus said to them, well, what things? Listen, Don't you just, I mean, I get excited. I read it, I go, oh, Lord, you're funny. He's probably just holding back his laughter. You know, what things are you talking about, boys? You know, and so they said, okay, you know, now all these questions. So they say, well, Jesus, he said to them, rather, these things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was, that's past tense, not anymore, who was a mighty prophet, who is mighty in deed and word before or literally in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And Jesus said, well, okay, wow. So those are the things here. Look what Jesus did. He always does this for you and for me. He gave Cleophas, you can pour your heart out to me anytime you want to. He gives us that opportunity, doesn't he? And you know what? Even though we're wrong, was he wrong? Yes, the disciple was wrong. He was going, I'll listen to you. You can pour out your heart to Jesus anytime and any place if you'll just do it. And he goes into the past tense. He was a mighty prophet of God. But not anymore. He died. He was not only that, he was mighty indeed. The things that he did, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he fed the thousands, but he's dead. And not only that, he was mighty in word. No man ever spake like Jesus, the Bible says. And then we come to the one that's the killer of them all. These disciples said, but we, it's past tense again, we were hoping, in the original languages, it really would be saying, we are now without hope. There is no hope left in my heart. There is no hope left in my mind. We are, hope is all gone. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Now see, they had that wrong too, didn't they? In other words, to redeem Israel, they meant for the king to come and take them out of bondage to Rome and set up the kingdom. But that's not what Jesus came for. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. It's been 3 days. Listen to me. They're going, it's too late. We really hoped in him. We believed in him. We trusted in him. But he is dead. And they're saying, you know what? We're going to go home now. We're going to go back to our regular old way of life. You know, listen to me, is that you? You would say, well, you know, you were hoping. Maybe you've said, you know, I thought 2022 was really going to be my year. It was really going to be my hour. It was really going to be the time, you know, when I get my life back together. And then I've gone through this COVID junk and now this horrible inflation, all the things that are happening. And even that, and some of you may say, well, you know what? I left California and moved here to the promised land called Texas. And you say, you know, here I am. I was hoping for a new start. I was hoping for a new start for my children too. I was hoping for a new start maybe in my marriage. And here I am, and I was hoping. I have a new home now, and I have a new job. I have a new church. I have a new, young, handsome pastor, and that's not me. And I have new friends. But maybe you're like those two men. Life just didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to. Maybe what I'd hoped for, that plan, it just didn't happen the way I wanted it to. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find the body, and they came saying that they had also seen angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. These two disciples, they still loved Jesus. Did you know that? They still believed in Jesus. Their love wasn't destroyed for the Lord. Their hope was destroyed. Do you understand? Their hope was destroyed. And you know, human hope is a fragile thing, isn't it? See, their heart was still filled with Good Friday. And that's what they were thinking about. So they say, you know what? They told Jesus, we're going home. We're going back home. And you know why? They saw in their own heart failure in the cross of Christ. They thought it was a defeat. They didn't think it was a victory at all. Did you know that according to Barna, 92% of Americans believe Jesus was a real person, yet 56% of them, they don't believe that Jesus was God. And 52%, they don't believe that Jesus was sinless, that he actually sinned on this planet. And they don't really believe, the cross, yes, but the resurrection, there's just too much doubt. They don't believe in that. You know why? The Bible tells us. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message, or the good news of the gospel, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it is the power of God who believe. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord for that. In other words, it's foolishness. You're trying to tell me, you witness to people all the time, so do I. In other words, they say, you're trying to tell me, this is the 21st century, man. I mean, do you understand? You're back in the old days. You're trying to tell me that one man born from the virgin, put in a manger in an insignificant little city all the way across this planet that no one can even spell the name of probably. You're trying to tell me that this man was put on a cross, died for the sins of the world, and my eternal destiny is based on what I believe in my heart about him. That is exactly what I'm telling you, that there is no other way but Jesus Christ. He is the risen Savior, loved one. Foolishness, what a dreadful condition. Look at verse 25. He said, and Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, and this is a very big word, all. Believe in all, not some, all that the prophets have spoken, meaning the Old Testament. He says, ought not, or wasn't it necessary for the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I want you to notice what Jesus said. He didn't say anything about the mental faculty. In other words, he didn't say, you're slow of mind. He said, you are slow of heart. That's where it all happens, loved one, right here. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Amen. We confess the Lord. Oh, listen. So look what Jesus does now. Does he rebuke them? Yes, he does. They don't know that's Jesus, and he rebukes them, but he rebukes them for one thing and one thing only. You had the opportunity. You should have known what the Bible says, or the scriptures, the Bible, and why didn't you believe it? That's a word for us today. Listen, Bible knowledge, we have not because we read not and believe not. Amen? No, listen, let the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, let us never be spiritually slow of heart to believe all that God has promised. Listen, faith in the resurrection comes from not seeing an empty tomb, but believing the living word of God. Amen? The Bible that you hold in your hands. No amount of evidence can convince an unbelieving heart. It doesn't work that way. Natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. You know what I mean? He can't do it. He's natural man. You have to be born again to understand that. You know, you can read the Bible when you're not born again, and it like, bam, beget, begot, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden when your eyes are open and you go, oh my gosh, I got it, I'm getting it. Listen, no amount of evidence can convince an unbelieving heart. You know why? Because belief is not a matter of evidence. It's a matter of faith. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things asked for, the evidence of things not, I don't see it. How do you know heaven is real? Have you seen heaven? No. But the Bible tells us that there's a place prepared for us right now. And I know it's there because I believe the word of God. So look what happens now. At the beginning of Moses, look what the resurrected Savior does. All the time he's taking is unbelievable. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained or expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm going to tell you something. The road to Emmaus is the most profitable road in the world at that time. Amen? And here they are, all the scriptures concerning himself. Did you know that the Bible is all about Jesus? From you go to Genesis all the way to Revelation, it's all, Jesus is on every page of the Bible, filled, the Bible is full with facts, supernatural facts and truths. Jesus said to the Jews, he said in John 5:39, he says, you search the scriptures, or you go through the Bible, the old covenant. For in them you think that you have eternal life. Listen to what Jesus said. But these are they that bear witness about me, the scriptures. And then Jesus looked at them and he said, you know what? But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. Can you imagine being on the road to Emmaus? And there is Jesus, and we're one of his disciples. And what did Jesus do? We just read it. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded the word of God to them. You know why? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. I don't know where Jesus began. We're not told that. But if he went to Moses and all the prophets, maybe he went back to Genesis and the first promise that was there in the Bible about he would be the seed of woman. Remember that? Maybe that's where he went. Or maybe he went into Exodus. Surely he was in Exodus. You know, the Passover lamb, you kill the lamb. What do you do with the blood? You put it on the lintel of the doorpost. And guess what? When the death angel comes, it's going to what? Passover. It's going to pass over you. Maybe Jesus said about the rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness. He says, I am that rock. Maybe he says, I'm the water. Or maybe he said, I'm the manna that came down from heaven. Don't you understand that fed you with angel food that you despised? Think about that. It could have been that he went into Leviticus and covered the five offerings, you know, the burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering, you know, the Democrat offering. I don't know where that came from. You should quit praying over there. I'm joking. Come on. You know I'm never political. Now, think about that. Maybe he went into the Psalms and he read this in Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus never said, my God, except on the cross. He called him Father. He called him Holy Father. But that right there is a cry that was our cry. See, Jesus took our place. My God, why have you forsaken me? Aren't you thankful that Jesus died for us? I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Or maybe he went into Psalm 22:16. Oh, they pierce my hands and they pierce my feet. They divide my garments and they gamble for my clothing. They cast lots. Or maybe he went into the prophet Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, and he says, I gave my back to those who struck me, talking about the scourging that happened on Friday in Jerusalem. He says, I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. Remember how the Roman soldiers jerked out his beard. He says this, I didn't hide my face from shame and spitting. Remember the Roman soldiers, how they spit upon the face of our Lord. Maybe, did he read that or did he talk about Zechariah 9:9? He said, just say, don't you remember last Sunday what I did? Zechariah 9:9, I came into Jerusalem on a donkey, the king. Don't you remember that? I came to the exact city on the exact animal to the exact people by only one person, me, the Savior. And not only that, maybe he went into Zechariah 11. I forget the verses, 12 or 13, 11, 12, wherever it is. And he talks about that he would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know what he thought, but maybe he did. But I do know this. It says, and then they drew near to the village where they were going. And I love this. And Jesus, look what he does. The resurrected Lord. He indicated that he would have gone farther. Now that means this. He was pretending. He was acting like, I can't stay, guys. I have to go on. It's been a pleasure meeting you. You know what I mean. And he says, look what they did. But they constrained him. That's a strong word in the Greek. It's akin to the root of that scripture that we have is our scripture for the revolution. Remember, it says, but the kingdom of heaven suffers violence unto now, and the violent take it by force. Meaning they seize the kingdom and they cherish the kingdom. That's what we're doing. Man, and they constrained him. They said, you can't leave. I believe they touched him. They held him. They blocked the doorway and said, you must stay. And watch these words. And they said unto him, abide with us. Say that with me. Abide with us. Oh, abide with us. Look at the reason. Listen, it's toward evening. And the day is far spent. Night, darkness is coming. And Jesus went in to stay with them. It's the first resurrection Sunday evening now, and darkness is coming. Man, listen, Jesus wants to make himself known. The Bible says in John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly, but the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy. And it came to pass, watch this, as Jesus, he sat there. They don't know who he is. Now watch, he sat there, he reclined at the table with them, and look what he did. He took bread, he blessed the bread, that means he gave thanks, and then he broke it, and then what did he do with it? He gave it to two sad, broken, discouraged disciples. Jesus now is no longer a guest. He's running things. He's now the host. Did you know that that's almost verbatim of the Lord's Prayer? You know what, Jesus? Why did he do that? Listen to me now. Those two, they loved the Lord, but they saw failure in what he did. They saw failure in the cross. They saw defeat in the cross because to them, their Savior was dead. So what does Jesus do? He says, let me wake you up a little bit. This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Are you following with me, loved one? Listen, and what happened? Then suddenly, oh, this is incredible. Their lives are about to be changed forever. He broke the bread, and then it says, and then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They recognized him, and man, you know, they and Jesus stuck out their hand. Hey, boys, how are you doing, right? No, he vanished. I mean, think of that. He vanished out of their sight. That means this. The word vanished means he was gone. He was invisible. They couldn't see him. Now listen to me, just because you can't see him and they didn't see him, does that mean that Jesus has left us? No, Jesus made a promise, didn't he? He says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age, amen? And Jesus was right there with him that very, very moment. Listen, why didn't Jesus just say, instead of all this trouble, why didn't he just say, listen, peekaboo, you know? I mean, it's me, don't you see? Why didn't he say, look at my hands here, come on. Look at my side. Why didn't he did that to Thomas and the other ones? He said, no. Why did he vanish? Why did he do these things? Why did he wait to reveal himself? I'll tell you why. Because he waited to reveal himself until he had expounded the living word of God to them, that they would believe in God's word. Not in sight, but in the word of God. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what we are to do. We are to believe the living word of God and say, you know what it said? And that settles it. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said about the word of God, he said, thy word is truth. Man, the resurrection means this, loved one, that we have right now and forever the continual living presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here right now. The Holy Spirit is alongside of us, but the Holy Spirit also lives in us. Amen? And I say, oh God, you're so good. I haven't seen Jesus. Has anybody seen Jesus today? But here's what it says in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, you love. I love the Lord, don't you? I haven't seen him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, and yes, we do, you rejoice with inexpressible joy, full of glory. John, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus confronted Thomas, he said, Thomas, you've seen me, now you believe, but blessed are those who have never seen me and believed. Amen? Oh, Jesus is alive. Let me tell you something. Where the place where Jesus is invited to could be the home or right here today. It becomes a place of revelation in your life. Their eyes were open, and they said one to another, oh, did not our heart burn? That's spiritual heartburn, loved one. Did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? He opened the scriptures. That's why their heart was burning. Look at the impact of the resurrection. So they rose up that very hour, not tomorrow, not the next day. No, it's nighttime, loved one. And it says, and they returned to Jerusalem. They went off, just got, arrived, and now they're going all the way back 7 miles, saying, it says, and they returned and found the 11 who were with them gathering together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And he goes on and he says, and it says, how he was known to us, to them was in the breaking of bread. Why was their heart burning? Was their heart burning when they were talking to Jesus? No, but their heart was afire when Jesus started talking to them. You have the word of the living God. Let it talk to you. Let your heart be burning with the word of God. Amen? Oh, the disciples, they saw their Savior. You know what they did? You know the story. Don't get restless on me, please. They saw the living God. From Jerusalem to Rome, did they turn their world upside down preaching the gospel? Yes, they did. And you know what they did? They created, from preaching the word of God, the greatest revolution in the history of mankind. Listen to me. Jesus did not come to start a religion. Jesus came to start a revolution. And that's what we are in right now. If you haven't heard anything else I've said, I want you to hear this. Time is short. The days are dark, and they are getting darker. Matter of fact, it's nearly dark now, spiritually. Loved one, would you just look with me at verse 29 one more time? I just never had a verse so this moved me like this. And here they come, and Jesus and the two disciples, and you know, they constrained him. You can't leave. You've got to stay. And they said, abide with us. Look at this word, the reason. It's toward evening, Lord. Not only that, the day is far spent. Night is approaching. And then, of course, Jesus went in. You know what they were saying? Jesus, they didn't know it was the Lord then. They said, would you stay with us? That's a word to us today. Lord Jesus, would you stay with us? Because we know that you will, but the day is nearly over. The day is nearly over, Lord, and the day is far spent. Listen to me. It is getting on now toward evening. That's what it is, getting on toward evening. I remember when I was a little boy growing up on the farm with my grandmother that raised me. It was a lot of fun to travel all over that land. I mean, I was like a king out there, you know what I mean? You know, you're 5 years old and, man, got all that land to explore. And I didn't wear shoes. You know what I mean? You know how kids used to come home with sweat and a ring under dirt? No, that you don't know. That's because I got to play outside. Not at Chuck E. Cheese's or whatever, you know? No. And there it was, you know, it's evening. And I'd hear my grandmother, Billy! You should hear her call the cows. Yeah, she could call them too. I mean, Suey! You know, I'm not going to go into that, but it was good. She'd call me. She was calling me in the evening. She'd say, Billy, it's getting dark. She couldn't see me, and I couldn't see her. I was way in the back 40. Billy, it's getting dark. Get home. Get home before dark. Come home before dark. You know, that's what God is saying to those that don't know him. He said, would you come home before dark, because the night is coming when no man can work? Jesus is saying, he said, listen, would you come home if you don't know Christ? You're in a dark world, even though you don't know it's dark, but it's getting darker and darker. You need to come home. You need to come out of the dark, because it's evening. There is a place where darkness is never going to be allowed. The Bible says there'll be no more night in heaven, no more night, no darkness ever, ever. You need to come home if you don't know Jesus. You need to come home while the day, the hour of grace is still available for you. Judas went out there in the upper room, and when he went out, it was night. Oh, what a tragedy. What a lost opportunity. Loved one, listen to me if you don't know the Lord Jesus. May I tell you, he'll give you a new life. He will give you a new beginning. He will give you a new start. Old things will pass away, and all things will become new. And he is alive right now. And listen to me, he's right here. And here's the deal. He wants you to stop him and detain him. He wants you right this minute to say, abide with me. Stay with me. For it's toward evening. He won't force that upon you. Jesus doesn't force it upon anybody. You have a choice. If you say go, he'll go. But it'll break his heart because he died for you, for your shame, your guilt, your sin, that you might have life. That's how much God loves you. He sent his only begotten Son. And Jesus is here now, if you don't know him, to make himself known. We are revolutionaries for Jesus. And we are on a forced march, all of us, to our homeland. We have no continuing city, loved one. I want you, if you don't know Christ, would you please be a part of that? Would you come home before dark? And you may say, well, Bill, what is the way home? Gosh, I'm glad you asked that question, because I know the way home. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Broad. It's so wide. Any lifestyle can go into it. It doesn't matter. He says, the gate is broad. It leads to destruction. I mean, it goes to hell. You don't want to get on that road. He says, but many go in there by it. It's well lit. It's easy to enter. And then he says, but narrow is the gate, difficult is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but it leads only to death. There is only one way. Listen, let me show you something. Oh, yes. What is this? No. This is life. And there's the broad way. Do you see it? Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you live. Any lifestyle, you live together, be with three women, 100 women. Go, it's broad. It's so well lit. Look at that, how wide it is. Wide is the gate. And here you go, you enter into it. If you don't know Christ, that's where you are. And as you go through life, what happens? You tried everything, you did everything, you hoped for everything. Money didn't make it, sex didn't do it for you, drugs didn't do it. And your life gets narrower and narrower, squeezing you, and you finally, you're poured out into destruction. But when you come to Christ, when you come the narrow way, yes, it's restrictive. Oh, yeah, you're going to lose some things, and you'll be glad you did. And you're going to go through, but I want you to notice something. As you go through the narrow way, guess what it does? It gets wider, it gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen? And then you know what life really is. And then at the end of your life, what do? You walk out and you're going, I'm home. That is the way home. That is the way out of darkness. Come home, Jesus said. Come home and get out of the dark before evening. Will you come home? Would you bow your heads, everyone, with me? You that are listening live, you in the overflow areas, if you do not know Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to do something. Yes, enter the narrow gate right now. And you'll find life. You'll be born again. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll find real, real, true life. As our Christians are praying, listen very carefully. If you don't, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. In church, you pray with me as well. Say, Father, Jesus is not my Lord. But I want to come out of the dark today. I want to be saved. I want to enter the narrow road and find life. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Your word, which is true. You promised. If I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe that you raised him from the dead, you would save me. I believe. I want to come out of the dark. I want to come home. In Jesus' name, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Every head bowed, every Christian praying, I don't want you to get out of your chair. This is between you and God and me. I want you to just, if you prayed that prayer and asked Christ, save me, I want you to just lift your hand high, and I want you to put it right back down like they did in the early service. Just lift it where I can see it right now and just say, Bill, I prayed that prayer. There in the overflow area. Anyone else, quickly, before I close, I'll not ask again. Yes, yes, God bless you, God bless you. Anyone else, quickly, yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Listen, don't let the devil, I see that hand back there. Don't let the devil do that to you. Don't let the devil keep you in the dark. Come into the light. You may never hear, you may never have an opportunity again. Give him your hand. Last call. Anyone else, quickly. Say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I prayed that prayer. Anyone, God bless you. Thank you so much. I see that hand. Anyone else said, that's me, Bill, before I close in prayer? Well, Father, you saw the hands. They belong to you. And Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Thank you for listening along with us this morning. May the Lord bless you with a great week. Happy Resurrection Day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.